You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to Built for the Stage podcast. This is Joe Roscoe, founder of Built for the Stage, Broadway's number one fitness platform. If you haven't tried out Built for the Stage or know what it's all about, go to the website, builtforthestage.com. And yeah, we'll get to know one another. Thanks to BPN, Broadway Podcast Network. Check them out at bpn.fm. All right. As always, we have an exciting guest for us in Hamilton right now. I also was in a movie that I really enjoyed on Netflix, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. So we're going to talk all things about that and also just spotlight our guests. So please welcome Johanna Moyes. Hi, Johanna.
Hi.
Thanks so much for joining us on your day off. How's it feel? Have you done any napping or stretching or breathing or what have you done on your day off so far?
I had an appointment to get my hair redone for the show, and then I did some cleaning of the apartment, got some groceries, you know, setting myself up for the week.
Mm-hmm. So you've been working, that's still kind of working, you know, having to go in for your hair. That's still working, having to go in for that, you know?
Yeah, indeed.
Hopefully you enjoy the people there that are helping you out with it, so it's a good time to hang out.
100%.
Let's rewind to the beginning. I was on your website before we hit record here. I was just saying, like, I really like your website. There's a couple of like grin moments in there where it just makes you smile a bit. So one of them was that when you were growing up, you were born pigeon-toed, and that's what influenced your parents to enroll you into dance class, and you just kept dancing. So tell us about that and just how dance was a part of your life very early.
Yeah. When we were little, I have five siblings. And so it was always like a thing of my parents to try and find what we would be like good at, what we would enjoy on the weekends outside of school. So we did everything. We did karate, we did soccer, tennis even. And then I was born pigeon-toed, as you just said. So my parents really wanted to put me in dance classes alongside everything else just so they could like straighten out my walk a little bit. Mm-hmm. And at first I was like, oh no, I'm going to miss so much soccer. Like soccer was my thing, but they enrolled me in my first dance class and I loved it and I never stopped. Everything else sort of fell away except for dancing. So.
Okay. And during this time, while you were young and you were in dance class, is this when you grew your love for giraffes or when did this come on and why do you love giraffes?
Actually, I think it was like I had just turned 14 or something and it was at a dance competition and there was a production number being done that was like from Madagascar randomly. This random studio was doing a number from Madagascar and they had like a big giraffe costume thing that the kids like came out in. And I was like, that's insane. But then also I was like, oh yeah, giraffes are very cool. And then I just got very like enamored by them and went down like a web rabbit hole of just searching up all the facts about giraffes I can. And I just think that they're like tall, silent, beautiful creatures. And they're so strong. They can kick the head off of a lion. That's a fun fact.
See, wow. I know that, and I'm going to be slinging that random fact everywhere. That's hilarious.
Yes.
Last one, just as we continue to break the ice here and get our listeners to get to know you, you also put on your website that I believe it's pronounced Garamond is the only font that you will type poetry in. Why is that?
Absolutely. Well, because in school, they make you write everything in Times New Roman, 12 font. And like Times New Roman is cool, I guess, but Garamond is just prettier. And so if I'm going to be writing anything that comes from me in my words, number one, I feel like I have an aversion to Times New Roman just because we've been forced to use it so long in school. And number two, it's just beautiful. And I also like to write not in capital letters. And it's the only font that I like the way the non-capital letters look. Mm-hmm.
You're one of, I actually have a friend that he will only email in all lowercase, like never caps, nothing.
Yeah.
Sometimes while he's writing, it's like you're reading a haiku, but it's actually an email from him.
Yeah. Well, because like sometimes Caps just feels too abrasive, but I don't know. It might just be me because I also tend to overthink things like that. Like I'll put an exclamation point in one sentence and then I'll be like, I can't put it in the next sentence because I seem too excited. So.
Oh my gosh, we're definitely taking this 1 minute clip from this episode and posting it everywhere because it's so true. We all do this, but no one talks. We have to get this out there. No one talks about
it. You do.
Open
no
up.
No one talks about it enough.
Share your issues of anxiety of when to put an exclamation point and when to just put a period.
But because you don't want to come off crazy.
Yeah, but then if you put the period, you sound like
then you seem like you're uptight. It's crazy. It's too much.
The world we live in. Can you believe it? When did you join the cast of Hamilton?
I joined the company in January 2019, so like a year before the pandemic.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah. You were grooving for about a year there, and then then the world shut down.
Yes, it did.
And here we are. Okay. So tell us. Let's see. You're almost since like coming back. It'll almost have been a year. So what I'm trying to get at is like you're almost at the point where you have this like 1 year bookend in between COVID, like a 1 year Hamilton, COVID. Now almost 1 year bookending it.
Yeah.
How's that experience been? How was it? And then how's it been since we have resumed shows?
Well, when I first joined the company, it was like my first ever super duper big endeavor. It's the first time moving away from home. It was the first time for everything really for me. And all of my family lives in Florida. So like I'm literally the only person here. And also all of my family is like very in the medical field or like very super duper practical. And that was my track for a very long time before I booked the show. So when I first joined it, it was a lot of like very anxious and exciting energy. And then the pandemic hit and everyone had to go home. But it was crazy because the day that everything closed, we were like, oh yeah, we're going to have 2 weeks vacation. Like let's rest our bones, rejuvenate, like go to Cancun for a week. Tickets are $40. Like those were the conversations before it all became as harrowing and as serious as it did. And then we came back. I think we started rehearsal at New 42 in like August or end of July. And it was just, it was, the shift was there because it was like 18 or so months of everybody being affected by this thing in such a different way. But every single one of the people in the room and like in the world has been touched by this pandemic.
So when you got back after COVID, did you notice any parts of the show in Hamilton, lines or staging that kind of popped out per se after going through those two rough years during the pandemic?
Yeah, absolutely. There was a moment at the very end of tech, like the day before our invited dress rehearsal. Sorry. That we had run through the show for one of the first times, like all the way through, and we got to the playoff music and all of a sudden, like all the swings that were like taking notes and stuff, all of us just like burst into tears. It was like the craziest, most cathartic and also just like sad release that I don't think any of us were really expecting. Cause our show, like as fun and as like rappy, heavy that it is. And like, it's so iconic and all this stuff. Like there's so much that talks about like literally who lives, who dies and who tells your story and like the passage of time. And also the mantle you have to take on to respect the people that we have lost and how we move forward through that. I mean, even before the pandemic, It's Quiet Uptown always wrecked me. Like I just, if I was about to come on stage, I could not watch Philip's death. There was just no way of doing that. But post-pandemic, you just pick out the lines that are, that just talk so much about like time and lineage and legacy much more.
Yeah. Being on the right side of history and all that kind of stuff as well, for sure.
Yeah.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SuffsMusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Was it during the pandemic that Ma Rainey's Black Bottom was filmed, or when was that filmed?
So Ma Rainey's Black Bottom was something that I filmed in June of 2019. So it was about six months since I moved here.
Okay. So just before 2020 was the filming of it. Got it.
Yeah.
And you moved, you keep saying that. So you're young, I'm assuming. And you were in, you were in Florida audition. Like how did you audition for Hamilton, or how did you audition for the Netflix movie? How did this happen?
Yeah, so I graduated high school in 2017, and in the year of 2018, I was doing like a regional production of like Flashdance, where in Florida they had flown down some people from New York, like act professionals, equity members, to do the show. And I was like, wow, like it's so cool you do this for like real life. Like I'm just like here from like college class, like to fill in. I'm dancing because someone had gotten sick. So they had to pull out of the production. So I went into it, and that was very much that. But they were like, you know what? Like, you should just fly to the city and audition. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, I'm not union. How am I supposed to just hop on a plane and go to audition? Like, how do I figure this stuff out? And they're like, no, you're built for Hamilton. You just go. So for a couple of months, I was like stalking Playbill to see like when is an ECC going up. And then I had to beg my mom, because my parents are very Haitian. They're from an island. And so they were like, what is this Broadway? What is this theater? You want to not be a doctor, to fly on a plane, to maybe not get seen for something random? Mm-hmm. And I was like, absolutely. So I ended up flying there with like, my headshot was like a selfie I took against a tree in my backyard, and my one resume credit was Flashdance the Musical. And that was in February of 2018, I think. And I got there, and then they were not seeing non-union that day. So I cried, and then I went home the next day. Like I bought a flight for one day, got there, and then flew back. And then 8 months later, they sent me an email inviting me to come dance for them, because I left my headshot and resume with them. And at that time, I also like unprivated my Instagram and was like posting dance videos and things, because I was like, you know, like maybe they'll like look me up, maybe, which they ended up doing. And then I came back 8 months later.
Sorry to interrupt you. Was that confirmed that they later told you that they saw your Instagram, or how do you think?
I have no clue. I actually don't know.
Or what do you think maybe on your resume? Was there something on your resume like dance credit wise?
Listen, my resume literally said like Johanna Almina Moyes, my email, my phone number, Flashdance the Musical. And then it was like, and I've also been dancing since I was 4 years old, on the back of a selfie that I took against a tree. So yeah, it was very wild, very much kismet. Like But I left my headshot in that pile of like 500 other girls. And then they emailed me 8 months later. I came and danced for them. I made it through that. Like you dance and then they do some cuts and then you dance again. And then they were like, okay, great. Then I went home. And then 2 days later, I got another email asking me to come for a call back the following week. And my mom was like, listen, you live in Florida. They have to know you live in Florida. You can't just keep flying back and forth. But I didn't want to tell them, because I was like, if I tell them, they're not going to give me the job. But she was like, that's my one condition. Like, you either tell them that this next time you go up is the last time you're going. And I was like, okay, great. I was like, if I get a call back, I'm going to tell them that I'm literally here for 3 days and I can't come back. My mom's not going to buy another ticket. So I did end up getting a call back, and Telsey was amazing. They ended up scheduling for me to sing the morning of my flight. I sang for them with the music director of the show at the time, and then I flew home. And then a month later, That was in November. A month later, I got a call saying that if I was going to hear anything, it would be the week of my birthday. Then my birthday came and went, and I was like, great, guess I'm going to be a doctor. But then January 1st, they called me, and then I moved here January 7th into a hotel with my mom for a week while we looked for an apartment.
Wow. You have lived a movie. Someone needs to contact does Lin-Manuel know your story? Does he know this story?
Because I don't think so.
I could see him, like, you know, when Hamilton has, you know, been on Broadway for like 20, 25 years or whatever down the road, he could kind of like revive it in a way by telling this untold story of this girl named Johanna Moise and how she was discovered in spite of flight difficulties and her Haitian parents almost saying, you have to be a doctor, you can't do that.
Yeah.
And then the whole headshot in the pot. What a story.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like, really, really so much. Like, every time that I think about it, I'm like, this should not have come to pass.
Yeah.
So I'm just extremely, extremely lucky. Yeah.
Good for you. And it was almost like back to back these things, because you also booked the movie. Well, how did you, did you submit a video, I'm assuming, down from Florida? And then what happened there?
So with that, after I had booked Hamilton, in about like a month since I joined, about February was when I first met my managers, Talent Inc. And we like signed with each other, and then they immediately just started like working for and with me. And Camille Brown was the choreographer of that movie. So she was holding auditions in New York City, and they got me an audition, and I just went in, auditioned with literally every other girl that looks like me. And then by the grace of God,
yeah,
booked it.
What have you not booked? What's gone bad for you? What's gone bad for you in your life?
I don't think that I would say anything goes bad. I feel like if you don't get something, then it's not meant to happen at that time.
There you go.
Cause yeah, I mean, that's in our industry, that's really the only way to think about it. Cause you're like, oh my gosh, an audition for a series regular, like I have to be great, I have to book this. And then sometimes you don't. And then you're like, oh, that means I suck, which is not true. Maybe, you know, just something happened on the other end where they're like, you remind me of my grandma and I don't like my grandma, so it's not going to be you this time.
That's right. That's right. So while you've had this early success and you've been in the show now, I mean, it hasn't really been three years or four years. It's really been like maybe a year or two-ish.
Yeah,
because of the break. But what have you been doing to like – try to continue to advance yourself as a performer? Or like, what do you do besides the show? Cause you are so young and you obviously are extremely talented. How do you stay hungry to continue to better yourself when you've had such early success?
I think that like with each and every opportunity that presents itself, like each and every audition, it's like a moment for me to be like, wow, this is like another step that I could be taking and like could be moving forward, and like that everything is not as far out of my grasp as I once thought it was. Like, cause you know, when you're little, you're like watching Disney and you're like, oh, I want to be in a Disney Channel movie. But then you're like, oh no, it's never going to happen. I live in a small town in Florida. Like, but if I would have continued to think that way, like in my senior year of high school, I was like, oh yeah, I'm going to move to New York sometime and I'm going to be on Broadway sometime. And I just kept thinking and taking class and like doing that. And then all of a sudden I'm where I wanted to be 3 or 4 years ago. So yeah, I think just keeping my head down with that.
Yeah. I love what you're saying, because a lot of people will bring up the whole positive affirmation, like self-talk thing without finishing the statement of saying, followed by the action it takes, you know, for these things to actually come to fruition.
Yeah.
I think that sometimes our culture or our age demographic just thinks you just say the things and it's kind of magically, you know, you have to say the things, believe the things, but then do the things you have to do to make them. You had to be willing to be crazy and take those flights, and your mom had to graciously be willing to allow it to happen one more time. And, you know, you had to actually put yourself in that situation.
Yeah, I think just like putting yourself out there and also like focusing on like the work and like as cheesy as it sounds, like the journey. Like, I don't think that my journey is by any means complete or that like Hamilton is the end all be all to like everything, but more so like every single dance class that I put myself in, every voice lesson that I'm taking, every acting class I'm taking, all the work that I'm doing every day to make sure that I'm staying ready so I don't have to get ready when the next opportunity presents itself is also just very fun and just realigns me with why I'm doing the art that I'm doing.
Yeah. All right. I love it. That's where we'll end the conversation. Beautifully said. Thank you so much, Johanna, for being on the episode.
Thank you for having me.
All right, everyone, you can check out Johanna's Instagram, johanna.moyes on the Insta. You can go to her website, johannamoyes.com. That will be in the description of this episode. Make sure you give her a follow, give her some love. And yeah, we'll see you on the next one. I'm Joe Roscoe, founder of Built for the Stage. Later.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.